You're listening to the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care resource for anxious introverts and people pleasers. I'm Brittany Nicole, your host and podcast BFF. In each episode, I teach strategies for creating a life that turns you on. So, my friend, if you're ready, get your tea and take notes. This is Stress in the City. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Stress in the City. And this week we are diving into people pleasing. I want to explain what it is, but I also really want to like break it down into tiny little atoms to make it more digestible. I feel like people pleasing is like it's something that has a lot of legs, something that has a lot of roots. So this is kind of a high level look at it, but I'm hoping that the way that I'm explaining this is going to be atomic enough to where even if you don't think you're a people pleaser, you might find out. You might just find out if you are. So let's talk about what it is. People pleasing is essentially a behavior pattern, and it's where a person, their desire is to please others, whether that's to avoid conflict, avoid, you know, being disproved or disliked by somebody, or in worst case scenarios, in abusive situations, it's to avoid harm and to try to remain safe. And if you've learned this as a social strategy, the chances are you probably go out of your way to make other people happy, even if it's at your own expense. Now, many of us were taught that this was normal, that this is how you operate in the world. And a lot of us learned that this was literally the only way to survive and to navigate people. And it's not true. It's not true. Now, what I'm about to say, it's not lost on me that this sounds harsh. And I'm saying this with love. And also, this heavily applies to me. That's why I can say this for sure. But I feel like the phrase people pleasing is a little bit ambiguous because it can sound like the right thing to do because of the pleasing word. The pleasing sounds like, oh, you're being nice or you're being kind or you're just being a good person in the world. And it's deeper than that. So I prefer to call it approval addiction because I feel like that paints a certain image in your mind of what's actually happening here. And like I said, I'm Brittany Nicole. I'm a people pleaser. I'm not judging. I'm saying this with love and with experience. So if you look at it objectively for a second, someone who has a substance addiction, why do they take it? Why do they do whatever they're doing, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever the case is? It's to feel better, to escape some feeling or some experience, to numb out to some degree. It's to essentially shift their mental, emotional state from one state to another state. And so approval addiction is the same. It's just an emotional addiction to validation. And when you get approval or you get validation for your choices, your decisions, your wants, your personality, etc., you feel confident in yourself. You feel valid. You feel more accepting of yourself because somebody else who you probably put on a pedestal knows more than you. And if they think that you're okay, then you have permission to think that you're okay as well. The problem with that is that when the approval runs out, when the validation runs out, when you want to, you know, be different or do something different than whoever you pedestalize would do, you can feel unsure of yourself. And you run the risk of putting yourself in the cycle of, okay, I got to get more validation. I got to get more approval from somewhere. And you know, I want to acknowledge that there's a spectrum of operating this way. Sometimes we find functional ways of pursuing validation and approval of others that work in society and that may not be as obviously deleterious to us. That could look like getting a job that everyone will admire, even if it makes you miserable and you hate it because it's something that your community or your culture views as respectable. That's what I would say, like a functional approval addict. And then there's also dysfunctional ways that we can try to pursue getting approval, like loving someone or being in a relationship with someone who is actually bad for us and who's actually only capable of hurting us. So the point is, approval is not the devil. It's, you know, there's always going to be some level of encouragement and validation that we need from others to create a functional society and a healthy, loving community. The problem is really over-relying on it, because if you over-rely on it, you run the risk of losing yourself, what matters to you, who you are, and we don't want that, right? Let's talk about people-pleasing as something that happens on a spectrum. On the very low end of the spectrum, you're going to have zero empathy. This is where you find your narcissists, basically. Having no empathy means I don't care about anybody else's feelings. I'm not even like aware that other people even have feelings. Other people are NPCs. The only person in the world that's real is me. And so this type of person is dismissive of other people's emotions and concerns. They're indifferent or impatient with other people's emotions and concerns. I'm not really diving into narcissists on this episode. I feel like that, I'm not even going to go there right now. What we are talking about is more so like the middle and end of the road with people pleasing. So we're going to be diving into what I call healthy conformity and high conformity and breaking down what those look like on this spectrum of people pleasing. First of all, let me say this. I don't like the word conformity. I'm not using that word because I like it. I'm using it because it feels accurate. The definition of conformity is behavior in accordance with socially accepted conventions or standards. And the fact is, we do conform to certain things, even, you know, unconsciously without thinking about it. If you work in an office, you wear business casual. You probably don't think too much about it. You just do it. When we go to the movies, we silence our phone. Like that, those are ways of conforming that's not necessarily costing us our identity. It's just more so like creating a harmonious environment. I'm using the word. It irks me a little bit, but I feel like it's an accurate word, so we're going with it. Now, how I define healthy conformity is basically having a balance between meeting your own needs and desires as an individual, but also being considerate of the expectations and needs of others. And that's the key word, considerate. It doesn't mean that you're always doing it. It's just something that you think about as you make your decisions, and it can play a factor in the decisions that you make. In my opinion, being able to have healthy conformity is made up of two components. One, it's having a balanced perception of yourself with a balanced perception of others. So let me clarify a little more. Balanced perception of yourself means you have an understanding of your own value, of your needs, of your wants, but you're also open to growing and changing and being wrong. You're influenceable, but you're still anchored in what's core to you. To me, having a balanced perception of yourself means that when you're in an environment that challenges your values, that challenges your needs, that challenges your boundaries, and other people are the challenge there, you're able to hold on to yourself. You can say, that's what other people want for me, but this is what I want for me, or this is what I need for me. And I'm okay with the fact that they don't understand that. That's what I would say makes up essentially having a balanced perception of yourself. And the other aspect of healthy conformity is having a balanced perception of others. To me, what that means is you avoid extremes of putting people on a pedestal above yourself. You don't view anyone as so much above you or so much higher than you or so much more worthy than you that your needs can be disregarded entirely. Your feelings can be disregarded entirely. And having this perception of others, this balanced perception, means that you recognize that everyone has worth and value that's inherent to them, including you. So that's what I would say makes up having healthy conformity, having a balanced perception of yourself and a balanced perception of others. Neither one of those things are too far away from one another where it creates an imbalance. So let's contrast that now with high conformity. With healthy conformity, you've got balance. You have a balanced view of yourself. You've got a balanced view of others. With high conformity, you have a low view of yourself and a high view of others. And so you might take on social norms that you don't actually agree with. You might submit yourself to expectations that other people have for you, even if they go against your values, even if they go against your boundaries. This is basically living a life that doesn't feel authentic to you because other people want you to. And it really is a recipe for resentment in your relationships. It's a recipe for overall dissatisfaction, and it's a recipe for burnout and stress. So here's a scenario, and we're going to play this out the healthy conformity way and the high conformity way. The situation is this. A friend invites you to a party, but you're not sure if you want to go. I think we've probably all been there. I've definitely been there. And as somebody that like struggles with people pleasing and not want to disappoint people by saying no, this can be a very anxiety inducing situation to be in. So let's look at it from both angles. From the healthy conformity angle, you take some time and think about your own needs, what you want, what you have going on in your day, what your schedule is looking like. And maybe you say to yourself, you know, I could use little social interaction. I've been in the house watching Netflix all week. Maybe I need to see some human beings, but you also have some other things to do. So you talk to your friend and you decide that you're going to come later in the evening when, you know, maybe people have gone because your social battery is a little bit drained, but you do want to get some engagement. You come up with a compromise that makes you feel good, that still honors your needs and honors your energy levels, and makes time for you to spend with your friend that you care about in a way that's not going to cost you. Okay, now let's look at the same scenario from the high conformity angle. You get this invitation from your friend to go to the party. You're not really sure that you want to go, but you say yes immediately when they ask. You don't stop to check your calendar to see if you're double booked. You don't really check in with yourself to see if you feel like going. You don't even really ask any more questions like who's going to be there or, you know, get some intel that'll help you figure out if this is the best idea for you. More so, you're like, I know that if I say no to this person, that they're going to be upset, they're going to have a fit, they're not going to like me. What if they don't invite me to things in the future? I know what you're thinking because I've been there. And when you go, do you have a good time? No, because you don't actually want to be there. So you're mad at yourself for not saying no. You're mad at them for inviting you. And you just keep all of that inside. How fun is that? Not fun, right? I want to leave you with some food for thought. Where do you fall on this spectrum? I'm guessing if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not on the narcissist end. So we won't even worry about that right now. But where do you fall? Do you feel like you have a healthy level of conformity? Are you able to navigate society while taking in, you know, the expectations of others and deciding what's best for you? Or do you automatically throw away your needs, wants, boundaries, etc., if pushed, if challenged? I'm not judging because I've been there. And this is why I want you to think about it. So I'm going to leave you with these questions for you to ponder on until the next episode, okay? 1, do I experience anxiety when I think about asserting myself or expressing my own needs and wants? 2, do I struggle to say no to others even when it's not in my best interest? 3, do I put the needs and wants of others above my own, even if it causes me discomfort? And the last question, 4, Do I struggle to make decisions for myself without seeking input or approval from others? I want you to mull over these questions, and I really want you to journal over it, but I'm not going to ask you to do too much. I'm not going to ask for too much. I want you to think over these questions, and as you answer for them for yourself, I also want you to not judge your answer. We're just identifying here patterns within yourself. If you do these things, if you do have anxiety or stress when you, try to express your needs or your wants or your boundaries, the first step in doing something about that is developing the awareness. Say, yes, I do that. Okay, now when do I do that? So think about these things, take some time to marinate on it, and really practice not judging yourself for whatever your answers are. If this is something that you're not even aware of within yourself, you got to start asking the questions first. Okay, so that's it for me. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Stress in the City. And if you're enjoying Stress in the City, please follow wherever your pods are casted. And even more importantly, if this was helpful or valuable to you at all, please share it. I'll catch you next time.